Well, what do you think? It's kind of a crazy story, isn't it? There's some truths in here, obviously a whole bunch more than what I could ever teach you on. But I want to pull out one that here's where the conversation started. Danny this morning was like, I really want this moment between singing and prayer to have this prophetic pause, this spot where someone comes up, not just to share testimony, how great is that, but something prophetic to happen. Something where God relates his heart to his people, shares us something special that is just for us. And I believe today the story of communion has something special for you in it. I want to read you verse 13 because I think it's kind of wild to think this. So Jesus sent two of them into Jerusalem with instructions. You ever been given instructions? Go and do this, right? As you go into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. Here's the pause I want to give for you today. God has prepared something for you. Many of you are sitting here going, well, but I'm not really that great of a person. Like I'm struggling with depression. My marriage isn't awesome. Like I'm overwhelmed with my kids. I got so much going on. God has something prepared for you. I think that's the prophetic word of the day. God has something prepared for you. And so he's given you some simple instructions. Go into the city and find a guy carrying a pail of water. And give him this secret code. Give him the question. The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover with my disciples? And the question that Jesus gives to you in that prepared space where he has something for you is to ask this question. Jesus, where can I spend time with you? Where can I prepare this meal for you? Where can I be in your presence? And this is the prophetic word for you today. It requires Jesus to do something. He's offered. And it requires a response from you. So right now, take your bread. This is a beautiful act of Christ and what he's done for us. That he died on the cross, that he took our place. He took the sin that we deserve. He took the punishment and he paid for it. He prepared that place for you. No, you're not good enough. No, you can't measure up. No, you can't accomplish all of the things that are burning within your heart. But God has said, I've prepared it for you. I have something special for you. I have that place. So take that bread and eat it. In the same way Jesus took a cup, he called it a cup of suffering. All the terrible things that he would go through to take our place. And it is red. It represents his blood. It covers us. And I don't know if you understand the implications of that, that it covers us. This right here, this act that Jesus did for us, makes you spotless. So now you stand in front of the judgment throne and God says, what makes you worthy enough to come in here, to come and be in my presence? And you don't have to answer because Jesus already answered for you. He says, I've covered them. They're mine. They no longer look like themselves. They look like me. That prepared space, the special thing that God has called you to, and the response from Jesus is, would you just ask to be in my presence? Where can I prepare the meal for my master so he can meet with his disciples? So take that juice, take a drink of it. Know the taste, know its purpose, know its meaning. Know that this is Christ. He offered everything for you. He prepared that space. And his ask, his request of us is that we get to participate with him. So let's pray and seal this together. Jesus, thank you so much for something so incredible and yet so simple. We go when we attempt to earn our salvation. We go and attempt, God, I want to do this right. I want to do this for you. I want to put in my best effort. I want to try. I want to strive. I want to work hard. And your answer to us is, no. I've done all that for you. All I want is for you to be with me. So Jesus, our response to you is to sit in your presence, to gather here as a family, to respond to your calling, to take our prepared space that you prepared for us and offer it as an offering to you. So would you take this communion, this bread and this juice, this symbol, this act of mercy, and would you seal it in our hearts that we would truly, truly understand the incredible work that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, feel free to drink the rest of it. Eat the rest of it as we continue the service. Kids, it's time for Sunday school. If you're ages 5, kindergarten, all the way to grade 6, this is for you. This is for you. Let me pray a prayer of blessing on the kids. Jesus, would you take these kids, the truth that we just learned, would you help them to understand it? And not just in their heads, but deep down into who they are, that they are yours and that you have called them. Would you take what they have to learn today in Sunday school, and would you bless their teachers as they impart that wisdom to these kids? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as everybody kind of transitions back, I need a helper. Boma, would you come help me? Everybody today needs a pen and a paper. If you got one in your purse, awesome. If you don't, this wonderful young man will hand you a pen and a paper. So just wave your hand at him. He'll get you one. He'll get you one. You don't need the whole pad, but if you want the whole pad, it's got the church name on it. It's kind of cool. Yeah, if they want the whole pad or just one page. One pad, one page, whatever you want. As long as you got something to write down. Let me introduce something to you, all you wonderful folks sitting there. Often we come to church and we do this thing called preaching. Right? God comes up to the front and he gives you this exhortation, this renew your spirit, excitement, kind of rally you up, cheer you up kind of stuff. Today, we're going to turn that page a little bit and we're going to do something a little different. My role as your pastor, as your leader, is actually to equip you. You ever heard that word before, equip? Think of it like equipment. Like if you're gonna frame a house, someone's got to give you a hammer and a box of nails so that you can frame the house. Today, I'm going to equip you. My role as your pastor is to equip you to go and do the things that God has called you to do. So many times we come to church and we receive. If you're there, like I totally get it. I love receiving from the Holy Spirit. I love receiving from God where he says, I just want to encourage you. I want to pour into you. That's what this communion time was. I want to encourage you. I want to pour into you. But then there are moments where we respond to God and he says, here's some tools that I want to give you so that you can go and be on mission. Go and do and be who I created you to be. So today I'm going to equip you with some tools. You ready for this? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. If you were to describe Jesus, how do you think you would do it? Like here, let me give you a sentence, and then for those of you who are Bible scholars who have read a lot, complete the sentence. The Son of Man came to. If you were to describe Jesus, the Son of Man came to. What do you think? Any thoughts out there? I hear some mumblings, but not some. Yep. The Son of Man came to preach the word. The Son of Man came to establish the kingdom of God. I heard someone over here say the Son of Man came to die on the cross. That is primary purpose of why Jesus came. Perhaps the question is more revealing if we make it. The Son of Man came to campaign for political change. Does that sound like Jesus? The Son of Man came to campaign for political change. Okay, maybe this. The Son of Man came to preach on street corners. That's what his primary role was. Maybe the Son of Man came to make the most of new media, right? Social media. He was to be an influencer. No. These are all things that we impart on Jesus. We put them on him. And the New Testament, I want to give you the answer. The New Testament says that there are three things that complete the sentence, the Son of Man came to. Here's the first one. The Son of Man came to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. The Son of Man came to serve and to give his life as a ransom to many. That's Mark 10:45. The second one, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Okay? He came to serve. He came to seek and save the lost. And here's the third one, and I think this one is the most important one, and we'll get into a moment, but the Son of Man has come to eat and drink. And I want you to understand how profound this is, right? The Son of Man came as a ransom for many to serve. The Son of Man came to die on the cross, right, for the lost. And the Son of Man came to eat and to drink. Does it sound slightly out of place? Like all of these epic things, like you can imagine the big symphony in the background and the panning camera and Jesus coming down to earth to seek and save the lost, to come and serve, to do these incredible things, and he came to eat and drink. See, the first two statements are statements of purpose. Why did he come? To serve, to give his life as a ransom, to seek and save. The third statement is different, though, because it's a method. How did Jesus come? He came eating and drinking. The Son of Man is this term in the book of Daniel that Daniel uses to describe the one who comes to God to receive authority over all nations. And now Jesus, the Son of Man, he's come, but how does he come? Does he come with angels? Does he come on clouds from heaven with this big army and this blaze of glory? No, Jesus comes eating and drinking. We just did communion, the most holy moment that you could ever have with God is where you sit down and you eat and you drink something. So I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. I want you to read this story with me of Jesus when he came and what he did, how he accomplished what he was for. So Luke chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 27. Here we go. Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi, or Matthew, sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to them. So Levi got up, he left everything, and he followed him. Verse 29. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. And many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law, they complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? And Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come not to call those who think that they're righteous, but those who know they're sinners and need to repent." Do you see the question the Pharisees asked? Why do you eat and drink with such scum? And Jesus has such an incredible answer. I've come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know that they're sinners and need to repent. So this gives me a question. Here's where I want to move to. Do you remember that time when you first met Jesus? Again, can you remember that? Were you in the car with mom? Maybe I was a four-year-old boy. Like, I don't have the memory. I have the memory of the story. That's how impactful it was, because it's been repeated so many times in my family. I was just sitting in the car with mom. Maybe you were on the street corner, and there was just some boisterous man with a sign. Like, you've been there, Danny, right? Stood with the guy, and it was just like, wow, this is wild. Some guy is on a soapbox, like, literally, and he's preaching away, and maybe you met Jesus that way. Maybe you met Jesus with just a whole bunch of strangers, right? You're just in some huge crowd, and someone made some call, and you're like, yeah, I'll answer. Chances are you were with someone you knew. Chances are when you met Jesus, it was not just this one-off. That does happen, but it happened through a relationship. It happened through a friendship. It happened through something that was deeper than just I bumped into you and suddenly the answer came. Most of us, when we decided to follow Jesus, it was through something that was growing. And on the other side of the story that we just read, many of us, we know Jesus for a while, and we've had a season where we're learning and growing and following him, and we've learned that being part of this family of God, we're partnered with him to spread that message, that story, that friendship. To go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So today, here's where I want to go with the equipping. Remember where we started? I want to give you a tool so that you can say, Jesus, I know you've prepared that space for me. I know you want me to spend time with you in the upper room. So I want to respond and I want to go and prepare for this. How would I prepare? What is the tool that you have for me? Somehow when I was a young believer, I thought God's mission started when Jesus came to earth. Right? Jesus came as a little baby. Yay, salvation is coming. But if you read through the Bible, the mission started much before that. Actually, the first time that we see the mission is before the fall with Adam and Eve. Go and be fruitful and multiply. The next time we see the mission is in Genesis 12, where God goes to Abraham, and I want to read you this because it's going to foundation all of the things we learn. Here's what God says to Abraham. That prepared space. I have something for you, Abraham. I have something for you, people in Five Corners Church. Here's what he says. Go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. You will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, there's a word in there. I hope you heard it. It's been repeated 5 times. Just these 3 short verses. Did you catch it? God says to Abraham, I will bless you. And you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And not only that, all of the people, all of the earth will be a blessing through you. This is the beginning of the Bible. This is Genesis 12. This is God's strategy, how he is going to reach and save the world. It's a blessing strategy. And there's no better example for what it looks like to go and bless than what Jesus did. So his entire life was a blessing. The Gospels give us all these stories, numerous examples of Jesus teaching about being a blessing. The Sermon on the Mount, or when he had kids on his lap and he's blessing the children, and he's meeting these people and he's healing them and fulfilling their needs. And everywhere that he encountered people, Jesus was a blessing. And so if we were to look at Jesus' life and we were to take this story from Genesis and we would say, God, if you have called me to be a blessing, Then let's look at the reoccurring patterns of how Jesus befriended and blessed the people of his life. And the more we comb through the Gospels, the more we begin to see these simple practices that Jesus has called us to do. Originally, I got them from this guy named Dave Ferguson. He came to conference one year. All the pastors all gathered, and he's like, hey, I got this great church planting movement. And in the little corner of his church planting movement, he said, I also wrote this book like 20 years ago. And as I read it, I heard from God, and I was like, this is the answer. This God is what you've called us at the Church of Five Corners to go and do and be. So he takes all of the stories of Jesus, and he narrows them down, and he comes up with five things, and he puts them as an acronym. Here's our acronym, BLESS, B-L-E-S-S. First one's a little bit of a stretch. Begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. You ever been there where God just put on your heart to pray for someone? When Jesus stated his earthly mission in Luke 6:12, he tells us that he went on a mountain and prayed. This is how Jesus started his ministry. Prayer is how you discover your mission. It's how you live out your mission. And the way that you share God's love with others is to begin with prayer. Well, the second part of the acronym is L, right? If we're spelling the word bless, L is for listen. Asking questions and then listening was central to Jesus' life and teaching. Consider the blind man in Luke 18:41. Jesus doesn't assume the blind man wants to see. First he asks him, what do you want me to do? See, Jesus listened. And in any relationship, men, you know this with your wives. Kids, you even know this with your parents. You got to listen to mom's lecture because when she'll get to the end of it, there'll be something to be taught. True listening is the kindest, most loving gift that you could ever give someone else. So L stands for listening. E in our acronym stands for eat. You're going to like this part. Jesus really liked this part, right? We just read the story. They accused him. Why are you eating and drinking with such scum? What do you mean I eat and drink with everybody? Like this is what I came to do. Over and over and over again. And in Luke chapter 5, we find Jesus with tax collectors and sinners. And what's he doing with them? He's eating. He's having dinner in this story that we just read with Matthew, the tax collector. And there's something about sharing a meal that moves a relationship just past an acquaintance. It moves into something deeper, towards this friendship faster than just about anything else can do. So E is for eat. Begin with prayer, listen, eat, and then S. S stands for serve. Jesus told us straight up, and I already mentioned it, but the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. This was Jesus modeling for us. When we begin with prayer and you listen to someone's story, you sit down and eat with them, there's a good chance you'll discover how you can best serve that person that God is asking you to bless. So, S, serve. And here's the last one, the last S. This is share your story. Well, when people are ready to listen, Jesus would finally share his story. When like Doubting Thomas came asking, how do we know the way? And Jesus, he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, when you befriend and you bless people, they feel relationally safe and they want to know your story. And then, and only then, you can tell them how the love of God and the life of Jesus and his death and resurrection has changed you. So, this is the overview. Danny always puts up an acronym. What's a sermon in a sentence? Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not as gifted as Danny. My sermon is in 5 points. You can see all 5 points. I want to go into these into some detail. And I want to pull out stories from our church family because this is a practice that we've been doing for about 5 years now. And many of you, if not most of you in this room, are here because of this practice. Because this is the method that God has tooled us with to go and reach the world. So, are you ready? Go back to the beginning. What's the first one? Begin with prayer, yeah. Like, when I first asked you how you came to know Jesus, you probably didn't realize this, but I guarantee, this is not a probably, I guarantee someone somewhere was already praying for you. Like when I grew up there, we sat in the seventh row of church. We had these orange pews in church. And in the eighth row right behind us, there was this old lady. And she was real old then, so I can't imagine how old she is now. Her name is Betty Gould. And she sat behind us, and she prayed for my family. And every week, I get a phone call from Betty Gould, still. And she says, David, I'm praying for you. David, I'm praying for you. God has put you on my heart since you were a little boy. I'm praying for you. And here she is. She's probably like 95 years old. And we're going to visit her this week. It begins with prayer. Begins with prayer. So I gave you each a piece of paper and a pen. I want you to take those out. Take your piece of paper. And I want you to write four names on there. My piece of paper has eight names because I'm married and Lisa and I decided we would do this together. And I want you to write the four people that God is calling you to pray for. The four people on your list. If you want to take a biblical term, let's talk about our neighbors. Who is my neighbor? It's the people you work next to, the work people you play next to, the people you live next to. So if you're like in the Skidoo Club, write the Skidoo Club guys' names down. Right? If like Caitlin's in Taekwondo, she's got one of her Taekwondo friends on there. Maybe it's the person who literally lives next door to you. Or maybe it's a coworker. And as we continue this sermon, as we talk about this tool, I want you to write down four names of four different people that God is asking you to go and bless. Let me share with you my list, because sometimes it's best to just see it as an example. On our team, on the four people that we've asked, they are actually most of them are the ones that live closest to us. So our house is kind of crooked in the cul-de-sac, and right next to us there's this couple named Jim and Leanne. Jim makes the ice at the hockey rink. He's a cool dude. They've got four boys. And they've got more than enough trucks in the front lawn. So if you ever need to be pulled out of the ditch, give me a call. Jim and I'll jump in one of the boys' trucks, and it'll be the most exciting day of their lives. Like, these are my neighbors, Jim and Leanne, on the left. They've got these two loud dogs, and they're just the yappiest things, and they got in a fight, and one lost an eye. And like, they're amazing neighbors because they're the ones who make all the noise in the neighborhood and make us look good. And this is Jim and Leanne. They're on my left. Now, if you were to go across the street, we actually have new neighbors across the street. I've only met them once. But our previous neighbors across the street were Crystal and Jason. So they're this couple, and they got these two teenage kids. He's grade five. The boy's in grade five. And Jaden's a cool kid, but he's a little bit whiny on the trampoline. So Jason would have to go out and stand outside and make sure that his sister didn't beat him up on the trampoline. And my kids are all playing there. And I would just hang out with Jason. Jason and Crystal across the street from our house. And after a while, Jason kind of gets bored of standing outside doing nothing, so I'd just hang out with the kids, and then Jason would come back. We'd shoot some hoops. And across the street, Jason and Crystal. Then if we're looking a little bit more on my list, behind our house, we share a backyard with this couple named Richard and Jen. They've got six kids. They're not the noisy family. I think there's because there's a garage in the way. But Richard likes to sit in the backyard and play his guitar, and he's got these crows that he always feeds. He's trying to teach them to talk. Kind of a cool idea, kind of irritating because the crows always come and poop on my car. And these are my neighbors. These are three of the people on my list. The fourth one is this guy named Tom and his wife Esther. Originally, he was my chiropractor. I had some back issues when I first moved to town, and Tom fixed me up real good. He stretched me and twisted me until things popped and cracked. And every time I would go visit Tom in the office, I would begin my conversation with him and say, Tom, how do I pray for you? And he's like, David, I'm here to fix you. Yeah. But God and me, we got this thing going on, and I want to bring you into it. Tom, how can I pray for you? And we just began to pray for Tom and Esther. Those are the four people on my list. You've maybe heard me talk about them many times before. Maybe you've even met some of them. Because this is where the blessed practices started in my home. We began to pray for each of these people. So you had a few moments. Who's on your list? The people who live next to you? Are there people that you work with? Who's on your list? Who is God calling you to prepare for, to pray for. When I began to pray for them, the prayers were often simple. Often they were like, hey, God, help me run into Jim today. He's kind of reclusive. Their backyard is closed off from ours. Like, just let me bump into Jim today. And then Leanne would come out of the yard and be like, okay, well, that's not what I prayed for, but awesome, God, I'll talk with Leanne. And after a while, Jim is like the friendliest guy in the world. Well, often my prayer was, God, what would you have me say? Like, if you're going to have me meet these people, what do you need to give to me so that I can give to them? What is that prophetic pause in my life? Often the story was, God, I'm not going to see them today because I just got way too many things. So I'm going to stand by the front door before I put the key in the ignition, and I'm going to say, God, would you bless my neighbors? Would you use me to bless my neighbors? So if you get nothing out of today's sermon, nothing out of today's tools except for one thing, here's what I want for you. I want you to have four names, and I want you to begin to pray for these people. Remember our story from communion where Jesus said, go find the guy, he's got a pitcher of water. Guys, don't bring water. Why does this guy got water? And ask him this question. Go and say, I want to meet with my disciples. The teacher wants to meet to a place that's already prepared. This is the place that God has prepared for you. These four names on this list. He's asking you to begin to pray. To pray. Let's talk about the second practice. Listen. Jesus was a great listener. Did you know that? Like, as you read through his story, he modeled this blessed practice in amazing ways. He's motivated by love for every person he encountered. And not only did he perform great miracles and teach mind-blowing truth, Jesus took the time again and again to show the most practical and simple ways to listen to people. So let me just pull out one story. Luke 18, Jesus is on his way to Jericho. It's one of his last stops on the way to Jerusalem to participate in the Passover feast. And if you know the history, Jericho was extra busy that time of the year. Like, picture the hockey game is let out and everybody's going back to the car. Like, this is the busyness of Jericho, where you're just kind of going as a mass because everybody's got somewhere to go, but we're kind of going all together. And in the middle of this, in this hordes of people, there was this man. There was a blind man, and he's crying out. And here's what he says to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. And in all of the commotion, Jesus told the man, well, his disciples said, leave him alone. Like, Jesus is on a way to do something. Like, calm down, dude. And the man, he didn't listen. You ever been there? Sometimes I struggle with listening. Hey, don't do that. No. I need Jesus right now. And the man cried out louder, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And here's Jesus' response. Jesus stops and he asks the man, what do you want me to do for you? Think about that. Everybody just told him to be quiet. He's asking for a miracle. It's very obvious this guy is blind. And Jesus responds with, what do you want me to do for you? And the guy says, I want to see. We kind of all know this is coming. Like, he's screaming out and Jesus does the thing that Jesus always does. But I want you to know that question is so important. Because Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? That doesn't seem like a silly question. Like, this guy is obviously blind. He's obviously calling out. Everybody's trying to shush him. He's in the way and like, just get it over with. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And I believe Jesus asked this question because he wanted to treat this man with dignity. He didn't assume that he knew what was probably obvious. And he doesn't want us, you and me, to assume either what people need. So Jesus asked the question, and then he listened for the answer. Those four names on your list, the people God is asking you to bless, your neighbors, your friends, do you want to help them know the love of God? Then imitate Jesus by listening to them. Those four people that you are now committing to pray for. Don't just hear the words they say, but really listen to them. Put down your phone, turn off the Netflix, shut off the lawnmower, slow down the busyness. Don't park in the garage anymore, park on the driveway, because then you'll run into each other. And ultimately, when you take the time to listen and get to know someone, that's when the people around you feel truly loved and blessed. One morning this fall, I was rushing off to church. I actually forgot my laptop. I needed to go get it and bring it home. And I get out in the car, and then Jim is on the front lawn. And he's standing there with a ladder, and he's got a chainsaw. And he's like, "Hey, David." And I'm like, "I don't have time for this. Like, I got a plan in my day. I know what's happening. And here you are interrupting it." And the good Jesus follower that I am, I stopped, right? You have to remind yourself of these things. And I said, "Jim, what's up today?" He said, "Leanne's got me pruning everything in the yard. And you guys have this maple tree that's just, it's wild. It's huge. Can I just prune off one of the branches?" And I paused in my day and I said, "Jim, you need a conversation. You're not asking me a question to prune a branch. You're asking me a question that says, hey, would you just encourage me? I'm doing chores around the house." And so I sat there and I talked with Jim. We probably talked for 15 minutes. I was late for whatever I was doing. I can't remember what I was doing. And then we finished our conversation. I got to pray with him. I got to bless him. And see you, Jim. Talk to you this afternoon. Hope the pruning goes well. Don't fall off the ladder. And I go get my laptop and I come back. And everybody's standing in the front lawn. And Jim's laying on the ground with chainsaw running. Broken hip. Had to phone the ambulance. And my family got to sit there with Jim because we built a relationship. Leanne comes rushing out. "What's going on? What's going on?" Jim fell off the ladder. "Yeah, we were just joking about that. Don't fall off the ladder." And we got to pray with Jim. Actually, Allison, my youngest. She's like, "Jim, can I lay hands on you?" And he's like, "Yeah, sweetie, go for it." These are my unbelieving neighbors with four boys saying, I'm in a need. And you took enough time to listen to my story. So, Jim's doing much better. His hip is well healed. We've had lots of laughs about it. He didn't remember any of it because he was in shock, but we tease him all the time. I paused for 5 minutes to listen to their story. Would you do that to the four people on your list? Okay, what's the third one? Do you remember from our intro? They're on the screen. Make it easy for you. Eat together. How many of you like eating? Okay, let's think about this. If you were to eat three meals a day, that's what the Canadian government says is normal. You got 7 days a week. That's 21 meals. That's 21 opportunities every week to bless someone. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Like 21 times where you don't even have to change what you normally do. You just invite someone else to it and be like, hey, you want to do this thing that we already do and just do it together? You get to eat with the people around you. And I think this is the one I'm most excited about. Because if Jesus was accused and said the Son of Man did three things to serve, to seek the lost, and to eat and drink, this must be an important thing. If all of Christianity centers around this gospel message and Jesus instituted one of the most holy moments we could ever have and it was centered around eating and drinking, I think it must be one of the most important things that we could ever do. There's this guy named Henry Nguyen, and he wrote this: when we invite friends to a meal, we do much more than offer them food for their bodies. We offer them friendship, fellowship, good conversation, intimacy, and closeness. And if you think about it, those are all the things that Jesus offers us. And so he gives us this tool. Hey, how about you eat with someone? Take someone out for coffee. It's my favorite thing that Danny comes up here and says. Scan the QR code and I want to take you out for coffee. And he's so gracious to me. He says, one of the pastors will take you out for coffee. Danny takes you out to coffee. He does. Of all the things that I've watched him grow in, it is the most amazing blessing to hear his story of this person I took out for coffee. This person was struggling and they phoned me and we went out for coffee. We went out for coffee. But like, if you need to bless Danny, if God is asking you to bless him, give him $50 for Anvil. Because he takes everybody to Anvil. Because he says, you are so important to me that I'm going to practice what Jesus taught me and I'm going to take you out for coffee. We're going to eat something and drink something together. Have a conversation. Have a conversation.
Do you regularly invite strangers into your home for a meal? Do you do that?
I remember the first time we invited Tom and Esther over for Thanksgiving. They had never done a Thanksgiving dinner together. They have one boy, and they kind of did a small family thing. And Lisa brought out the works. Like, it was turkey and stuffing and lesniki and five kinds of potatoes and cauliflower with cheese on it. Like there were like 15 dishes, and this family came over, and they're like, this is incredible. I've never done a turkey dinner like this. In fact, here's a good story. In January, my friend Tom, the chiropractor guy, he got in a car accident like 2 years ago, and he's been doing all these crazy treatment things trying to get the pain to go away. And he's like, David, could you drive me to Kelowna? And I'm like, oh man, that's a drive. Like, they live out in Chase, so I got to Notch Hill, drive out to Notch Hill, and then drive all the way to Kelowna for this appointment, and then come all the way back. And I'm like, yes, Tom. You are so important to me. I'm going to cancel everything in my busiest work day, and I'm just going to spend the day with you. So we jump in the car, and we have this whole conversation the whole way there. Tom's an amazing talker. I love riding in the car with other people who talk, because I could just listen. Just tell me your story. What's God doing in your life? And I'll ask you questions. We get to the office, and he does his little thing. I'm waiting in the waiting room, and it's like 5 minutes long. And I'm like, seriously? We drove for 2.5 hours for a 5-minute appointment. We get back in the car, and it's like 1:30 now. And I'm like, Tom, are you hungry? Yeah, I'm kind of hungry. Yeah, I was going to take you out to McDonald's, but I forgot my wallet. Oh, don't worry, Tom. I got it all planned. I made us sandwiches. I prepared ahead of time. Lisa bought this bread that wasn't sliced, so I sliced the bread extra thick. And the night before, we had a big ham because they were on sale. So I like a half inch, 3/4 inch thick slice of ham in there. And vegetables were on sale, so I did lettuce and like all the fixings. Like, there was the fancy mayo and this was a sandwich where you have to like squish it to fit it into the container. Like, you just Ziploc the bag shut and it still pops open. This was a sandwich. And here I am sitting in the car in some parkade with Tom, and he's going, yeah, I am kind of hungry. Tom, I got you covered. I made you a sandwich. I have a sandwich. We get driving. He eats this wonderful sandwich, like, good sandwich. Next day, Lisa goes to play tennis with Esther. They're tennis partners. And Esther comes out, and she says, Tom wants to thank David about that sandwich. I think it's a sandwich. No. Tom says that David was a blessing because he cared enough to plan ahead and give me something to eat. How cool is that? I got to eat a sandwich anyways. It's lunchtime, and I'm too cheap to go to McDonald's because they got bad food and it's way too expensive. So I made a sandwich out of the stuff that we had in the fridge. And here Esther is telling my wife over a game of tennis that you are such a blessing because you shared a meal together. This is the blessed practices at work. I'm kind of eating all our time, but I want to move to the serve one. Serve. This is what happens when you pray for someone, when you listen to their story, when you sit down and you eat with them. God reveals to you. Pause there. God reveals to you. God prophetically speaks to you. God gives you a word of knowledge. The Holy Spirit actively working in you. When you do these three steps, when you begin to pray, you listen for their story, and you eat with them, then God reveals to you how to serve these people. Whether it's on the front lawn with Jim, how can I pray with you? Oh, well, I got an 8-year-old who wants to pray. Well, we wait for the ambulance. Tom, how can I serve you? I'll stop my whole day and chat with you for 5 hours while we go to the doctor's office. Because I'm just here to. Jason, I will stand outside in the bitter cold, and we will just chit chat while the kids jump on the trampoline. Because Jason, that's what you need in your life.
You need someone to just take the stress relief off your wife so she can deal with her problems. And I'm totally here for you. I'm ready to serve. I can't count the number of times we invited Jason and Crystal over for supper. And the kids would show up and Crystal couldn't because she was struggling. And Jason didn't want to leave her. Have you met Crystal? I'm being real personal here because I want you to understand how important these stories are. Crystal sits, normally where Silas is sitting. She sits in that spot. She's at a hockey tournament this weekend. Hockey's super important to Jason. Crystal knows Jesus, and she's part of this church family. And it started with these blessed practices. Started with Jason and me on the driveway. Great, kids are irritating again. Yeah, well, let's just chat. What's God doing in your life, Jason? What do you mean? I don't even know God. Yeah, but he's still doing something. You don't have to know him to know he's doing something. Well, Crystal and I are working on this. We're struggling with this. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. I don't know if you know Jen and Richard, our other neighbors behind us. Jen participated in this church for years. She's one of the most beautiful ladies I've ever met. Happened from the blessed practices. And if you notice in all of my stories, of all my neighbors, of all the people I'm praying for, some of them have great endings, like Crystal. Some of them have difficult endings, if you know Richard and Jen. We still pray for them. Lisa went out for coffee with Crystal last week. Super exciting. And every one of these stories doesn't involve me knocking on their door saying, "Would you like my flyer?" I'm not standing on a soapbox saying, "Jesus is the only way," although he is. I'm not shoving it down some stranger's throat. I'm practicing how God has called us to bless people. Can we begin with prayer? Can I listen to your story? Would you eat a meal with me? Would you share Thanksgiving? Can we do a barbecue? How about we do a picnic at the beach? Hey, I got a boat and we got a crappy barbecue and we make nasty hot dogs. Like, would you come and do this with us? Can I go to Anvil with you and drink some, I don't know, something with burnt beans in it? How can I bless you? How can I serve you? And in every one of these stories, I never shared my story. I never said, "Jesus says this. Go and do this. There's the right answer." But they always came to me and they said, "David, I have this need in my life. Could you pray for me? Could you introduce me to Jesus? Could you? And in every one of these stories, my forcefulness was negated by me just being honored to participate in God's mission and be a blessing. A blessing. So here's where I want to close. How's this for tooling you today? Giving you tools for the future. Here's what I want to leave you with. Take that list. Tim, would you come up? Make some noises. Make us emotionally. I don't know how it works, but it works. Would you take that list? Those four names that you have on there. If God's giving you more, like I got eight, it's not because I'm better than you. It's because my wife is awesome, and we just picked couples, made it easy. Take those four names on that list, and here's what I want for you to do. I want you to promise, not to me because I'm just some guy, to God. I want you to make an oath. Right? This is that serious. This is that important. I want you to promise to do one of the five blessed practices with the four people on your list every day. I know it's a huge commitment. It really is. But remember, Jesus was known for eating and drinking. So, like, party it up. Start eating and drinking with other people. And here's I get this question all the time when I talk about this. People come to me and say, "Yeah, but David, is like a 30-second prayer every morning just enough?" Yes. It really is enough. I want you to take those four names and I want you to commit them to Jesus. And I want you to begin to pray for those four people.
And start today, because today is easy. But then promise every day that you will do one of these five blessed practices. And to be honest with you, I've probably spent 600-700 days praying for Crystal and Jason, and probably 4 days eating with them. Awesome. Crystal's now part of our church family because I spent 600-700 days praying for her. So take those four names right now, in your spot. Begin to pray for them. Begin to bless these people. God says, I want to be a blessing to you and through you a blessing to the nations, to everyone in the world. Here's where it begins. Begins with those four names on your list. So I'm going to pray for mine out loud. You've all heard about them, but I'm going to pray for them again. And while I pray for my four names out loud, I want you to pray for your four names, the four people God has called you to be a blessing for. You ready? Here we go. Jesus, thank you so much for putting me in a neighborhood with these amazing people. God, today I ask that you would bless Jim and Leanne. In fact, I saw this morning that the boys all came over for four young adult boys in their busy little home. God, would you bless Jim and Leanne? They are such incredible people that need to know you. So today, God, I bring them towards you, that I would get another encounter with them, that I would get another chance to have a barbecue or a picnic or just shoot the breeze on the lawn with Jim, to talk about Leanne and how incredible of a wife she is and how incredible my wife is. God, would you give me an opportunity again to bless Jim and Leanne? God, in the backyard, I hear all the kids coming out to play because the weather's getting nice. And what a blessing to have my kids share friendships with those in the neighborhood. I pray for Richard and Jen. Richard's in the other side of the world right now in Ireland. Would you be with him there? Would you strengthen their marriage? Would you teach him to be a man of God? Would you give Jen a wonderful, wonderful, loving husband and family that they could grow together and know you more? Jesus, I look to my friend Tom, who's in a lot of pain, who's been struggling in his life, and he's at the verge of asking who you are. Would you give me the opportunity, would you give Lisa with Esther the opportunity to bless them again and again? That this friendship wouldn't end, that they wouldn't have to move away, but that they could know you because we know you and we represent you well. And then I look at the brown house across the street. I haven't refilled those names because Crystal and Jason have moved away. They now live on the other side of town. But would you bless them? Would you bless Jason? That Crystal wouldn't come to church by herself anymore, but that Jason would lead her towards you. And that the new names of the new people who live across the house from me, that I would get to know them and their kids. They've got two of them. That they would come to our house for barbecues, that there would be a friendship blossomed, and that they would learn who you are because of what you've blessed me with. And so, Jesus, would you, for our church family here, every one of these people has four names now because we sat and we jotted them down today. Would you give these names a place in our heart that we would pray for them every day, that we would practice listening to their story, that we would invite them over for a meal or go out for coffee or even just share our normal lunch at work together? And then from there, we would learn how to serve these people. God, would you give us servants' hearts? The story that we started with, where you got accused, Jesus, doing these horrible things, where you came to serve, you came to seek the lost, and you came to eat and drink, that we would look like you, that we would seek the lost, that we would serve those around, and we would just be known for people who eat and drink together. Give us that. And in all of that, give us an opportunity to share your story. That people would come to us with these same questions. So the Jim's on the front lawn waiting for the ambulance can say, Allison, I would love it if you prayed for me.
And the Crystals would come to our church family and say, I want to know Jesus more, and you started me off. This is where I'm committing. God, that these would be the stories of our whole church family as we learn and grow, as you tool us up to go on mission, you equip us with these practices. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know today's been a different morning, just sharing stories. I love to share stories. I hope you see my heart. I pray every day, especially teenagers in the front row, like you have prime opportunity. I'm going to high school, I got 100 friends because there's 100 people in the high school. I'm stuck with them in class. You now get to bless them. Begin with prayer. Listen to their story. Eat together. Learn how to serve them. And then God will give you an opportunity to give the gospel, to share his story. So go and be blessed. And if you're sitting there and you're totally overwhelmed with all of this, I totally get it. Start with something simple. Pray for the names on the list. Amen? Amen. Be blessed. We will see you next week.